A man walks into a convenience store and shoots the clerk. Another man, same age, same neighborhood, walks past that same store and heads home to his family. We call one evil, the other decent. We build our entire moral universe on this difference. But what if the gap between them is nothing more than luck? A few different neurons firing, a childhood memory surfacing at the wrong moment, a genetic variant they never chose. What if the conscious you making decisions right now is no more real than a shadow cast by processes you'll never see or control? This isn't philosophy for its own sake. This is about everything: how we punish criminals, reward success, love and hate, forgive and condemn. And the evidence is now overwhelming. The self you think is steering your life is actually just along for the ride. Consider your last major decision, choosing between job offers, weighing salary against fulfillment. You felt like the captain steering toward the best choice. But where did those thoughts originate? Did you choose to prioritize salary over location? Did you decide which memories would surface during your deliberation? Try this. Think of a city, any city. Why did that particular city appear? The city simply arrived, like a notification on your phone, through processes you neither initiated nor controlled. This pattern holds for every thought you've ever had. Thoughts arrive in consciousness fully formed. We don't create them, we witness them. And if we don't author our thoughts, how can we claim authorship of the actions flowing from them? You can do what you decide to do, but you cannot decide what you will decide to do. The scientific evidence is striking. Benjamin Libet discovered that brain activity associated with movement begins roughly 300 milliseconds before we become aware of our intention to move. Modern fMRI studies extend this dramatically. Researchers can predict which button you'll press up to 10 seconds before you consciously decide. Your experience of choosing is like watching a movie and believing you're directing it. Philosophers have long tried to rescue free will through compatibilism, the view that freedom means acting on your desires without external constraint. Want ice cream and no one's stopping you? You're free. But this misses the point. The question isn't whether you can act on your desires, it's whether you chose those desires. Did you decide to want ice cream? Did you create the neural wiring generating your preferences? If your desires arise from genes, childhood experiences, neurochemistry, and cultural conditioning, then following them isn't freedom. A puppet is free as long as he loves his strings. Compatibilists argue your unconscious processes are still you, but people identify with conscious experience, not unconscious brain activity. What matters for moral intuitions is the feeling of conscious authorship, precisely what science shows to be illusory. Some hope quantum mechanics might save free will through randomness, but if quantum events determined whether you acted compassionately or cruelly, you'd be less free, not more, blown about by an internal wind you neither created nor controlled. The dilemma is inescapable. Either our decisions are determined by prior causes we didn't create, or they involve chance we also didn't create. Neither provides the freedom people believe they possess. If free will is illusory, what happens to morality? Studies show that reading arguments against free will makes people cheat more in laboratory settings. Yet recognizing this truth should enhance our ethics, not undermine them. Consider three cases: a 4-year-old accidentally shoots someone, an adult with a brain tumor kills for fun, a neurologically typical adult commits murder during robbery. Our moral intuitions treat these differently, but the causal chain is identical. A brain caused movements that resulted in death. What changes is our understanding of the mind behind the actions. We can condemn harmful behavior while recognizing that people are products of causes they didn't create. The brilliant musician didn't choose her perfect pitch or disciplined mind. The violent criminal didn't choose his impulsivity, lack of empathy, or abusive childhood. Both are products of luck, genetic and environmental. This understanding should transform our justice system from retribution toward protection and rehabilitation. We can hold people accountable without believing they ultimately deserve to be who they are. A system without free will would focus on deterrence, rehabilitation, and protecting society rather than metaphysical desert. Losing belief in free will can paradoxically increase compassion. When you recognize that actions flow from a vast causal web beyond anyone's control, hatred becomes harder to sustain. You can condemn harmful behaviors while understanding that, given identical circumstances, you would have acted identically. The illusion of free will shapes our political divide. Conservatives emphasize personal responsibility, viewing success as earned through individual choice. Liberals recognize the role of luck and circumstance, advocating systemic solutions. These perspectives inform everything from taxation to criminal justice to education policy. Every self-made person depends on conditions they didn't choose: their genome, birthplace, socioeconomic circumstances. The successful entrepreneur credits hard work, but that drive stems from genetic predispositions and environmental influences shaped before conscious choice entered the picture. Consider two children, one born to wealthy parents with excellent schools, another born to impoverished, drug-addicted parents in a violent neighborhood. Both make choices throughout their lives, but these choices emerge from brains shaped by radically different environments. The privileged child doesn't deserve credit for fortunate circumstances any more than the disadvantaged child deserves blame. This doesn't mean abandoning accountability. Society can hold people accountable to shape behavior and protect others, not because they deserve praise or blame in some metaphysical sense, but because consequences influence future behavior. If success and failure result largely from luck, extreme inequality becomes harder to justify. Abandoning belief in free will isn't paralyzing, it's liberating. Your choices remain causal states producing real outcomes. Exercise, though determined by genetics and knowledge, directly impacts well-being. Recognizing free will's illusory nature creates psychological distance from negative states. Thoughts become events happening to you rather than products you author. An angry thought simply appears. You can observe it arise and dissipate without acting on it. This aligns with contemplative traditions emphasizing mindfulness. Buddhist meditation trains practitioners to observe thoughts arising and passing without attachment, an empirical recognition that we witness rather than create thoughts. Paradoxically, awareness increases control. Understanding background causes, realizing irritability stems from low blood sugar or sleep deprivation impairs judgment, allows greater influence over your responses. Knowing social media triggers anxiety prompts limiting exposure. Understanding hunger affects decisions leads to postponing important choices until after eating. The truth about free will doesn't erase the distinction between voluntary and involuntary actions. Some mental states arise automatically. Others involve deliberation. You can't choose not to hear a leaf blower, but you can redirect attention elsewhere. You can't prevent thoughts of food when hungry, but you can decide whether to act on them. We are not separate from the processes generating our thoughts and actions. We are those processes. Consciousness isn't a ghost in the machine. It's part of the machine itself. Recognizing this doesn't diminish human dignity or moral responsibility. It transforms them into something more honest and compassionate. We can still hold people accountable, make meaningful choices, and build purposeful lives, but with eyes open to what we are. Not the authors of our fate, but its witnesses, shaped by forces we never chose, yet miraculously conscious enough to recognize it.